Be still and know that I am God. This is our beautiful retreat verse from Psalm 46. And to be quite honest, I feel like it's been a verse that's been following me around for a long time. Have you ever had a verse that it's like wherever you are, there it is? That's been Psalm 46:10 for me. We actually used to have it framed in our home during our younger years when our home was anything but still. And I can remember passing it by and seeing it and going, okay, be still and know that He is God, and then go back to the frenetic pace of our life. Not long ago, we were in North Carolina and we were in a gift shop, and there was a coloring book entitled Be Still and Know That I Am God. And then I was looking for a card for a friend, and there's a card entitled Be Still and Know That I Am God. Then I'm at Hobby Lobby looking at the end of an aisle, and there's the Be Still plaques. And then listening to my Pandora station, and there's Stephen Curtis Chapman singing Be Still and Know That I Am God. I just feel like it's been everywhere. Before I prepared for this, if you would have asked me, Mary, give me a visual for this scripture, I would have said, okay, here it is. I'm outside by myself. I'm watching the sunrise. The cool breeze is blowing through my hair, and I've got my cup of coffee, me and Jesus, my meditative moment. Be still and know that I am God. But I want to humbly confess to you, that is not at all the context of this verse. While I highly recommend coffee moments, I definitely do, that really has nothing to do with this verse. So before we get started, I want to ask you just to prepare your heart and journey with me tonight as we dive into this verse and the context of it together. First, we're going to take a small dive into Psalm 46, and we're going to just try to understand the context of it. And then we're going to dissect our theme verse, Be Still and Know That I Am God, together. And then we're going to do the deeper work. And we're going to take some time to do some deep introspection and reflection and application with this verse. And then we're going to close with a meditative reading of Scripture. So let's talk about Psalm 46 for just a minute. Psalm 46 is actually the first in a trilogy of psalms. So Psalm 46, 47, and 48 are actually psalms of triumph. And it's thought that these were written on the heels of God's deliverance of His people from some really daunting circumstances. One commentator wrote, Psalm 46 was written out of the crucible of extreme adversity from which God had provided deliverance. This is about a God who is sufficient. Spurgeon called Psalm 46 a psalm of holy confidence. And Psalm 46 is actually also called Luther's psalm, as it is a theme for the great hymn that we sang together, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And historians believe that Luther penned this during a time of great personal adversity, but it was also a time when the bubonic plague was actually entering Europe and bringing devastation. Matthew Henry wrote, it is said of Luther that when he heard any discouraging news, he would say, come, let us sing the 46th psalm together. So ladies, come, and let's read the 46th psalm together. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So in these 11 powerful verses, the psalmist describes God as our refuge, our fortress, our strength, our very present help in trouble, and as the Lord of hosts. And one commentator did a beautiful job giving three distinct descriptions of God from Psalm 46. He says, first, that God is a refuge against the raging nature, that God is a resource against the raging nations, and that God is the ruler over the rebels of the earth. One theologian stated that the major burden of Psalm 46 is that God provides stability for his people who live in exceedingly unstable environments. Let me repeat that. That God provides stability for his people who live in exceedingly unstable environments. Now, let's spend a few minutes just looking at our theme verse, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. This is where God is actually speaking directly in the psalm, and he is speaking and he is making his presence known. His words, be still and know that I am God, this is no coffee moment at all. This is actually a command, and it is a rebuke. First, he commands, be still. And the Hebrew word is rafah, and he is commanding the raging nations, nature and rebels of the earth to stop, to cease fighting, to be quiet, to lay down their arms, to surrender. And on a very small scale, I would say an analogy of this would be like a group of kids maybe in your house that are going crazy and they're out of control, and the authority steps into this chaos and says, quiet, stop, quit fighting, I am in charge. And this is what God is commanding on a cosmic scale. And next, God says, and know, be still and know. And the Hebrew word here is yadah, which means to know by experience, to perceive, to know, to recognize, admit, confess. This is a deeply confident knowing. And then to know what? To know that I am God. And the Hebrew word for God here is Elohim. Elohim, which means the Supreme One, the Mighty One. It means God in the full sense of the word. He is the God of gods. So let's take a moment and just make some deeper personal application with this. We all live in exceedingly unstable environments from the moment we are born. And this is the world that God has sovereignly, he has sovereignly placed us in. So think about God's own children, the Israelites. He brings them out of Egypt into the promised land, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. But if you look at an Old Testament map of Israel, you will see that God's people are surrounded by enemies. So you've got Israel, then you've got the Canaanites, the Amalekites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Edomites, the Moabites, the Ammonites, all the ites surrounding God's people. Their promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, was placed in the midst of an exceedingly unstable environment. Just months after my birth, John F. Kennedy, the President of the United States, was assassinated just a short distance from my home in Dallas, Texas. My family actually stood on the street corner waving, holding me at the motorcade with the president, and then just minutes later, he was killed. I visited my dad this summer, and he had kept all the newspapers from that horrific event of November 1963. And you would have thought the world was coming to an end. Those were exceedingly unstable days. We live in unrest, we live in adversity. We live in the midst of spiritual wars and earthly wars, political uncertainty and racial tensions. We experience unrest in our personal lives, don't we? As we have strain and tensions in our relationships with our family, sometimes in our marriages, our friendships, with our coworkers, and sometimes even in our church family. We sometimes live in unrest in our finances. We live in unrest in our bodies. We endure sickness and injury and affliction in its various forms, the wear and tear of childbearing and aging and even death. But do you know where I believe our greatest instability and unrest stems? I think it stems from the battle that goes on right here in our hearts. So let's consider those storms that rage right here for just a minute. What storms are battling in your heart tonight? Do you ever take time to do some real heart inventory? I think sometimes in our busy paced life, we don't do that enough. I know I don't do that enough. I know from personal experience that what is going on here in my heart determines how I respond to what is going on out here in my world. In many years of conversations with women and through my own personal journey, I would say that the top six heart storms for Christian women are this. I think it's fear, anxiety, condemnation, control, bitterness, and the real, real biggie, idolatry, which comes in many different forms. And ladies, rather than having raging storms in our hearts where the Holy Spirit indwells, our hearts should represent the promised land. Our hearts should represent the land flowing with milk and honey. Our hearts should represent this lush, rich land that nurtures and nourishes many. A land of peace and holy confidence in a sovereign and faithful God, in Elohim. So how do we get there? How do we still those raging storms in our hearts and exchange them for a land flowing with milk and honey? I believe we do exactly what Psalm 46:10 is actually instructing us to do. In the midst of our storms, we need to command these hearts to do what God is commanding the raging nations and nature to do, to be still, raging heart, to cease and desist, to be quiet, to stop, to lay down your arms and to yield. And then do what? What's next? What command does God give the raging world next? To know that I am God. To know that I am Elohim, the one true God, the supreme one, the mighty one, the only one who can truly calm the storm. So let's be painfully honest for just a moment. As Christian women, I think we say with our mouths, He is the one true God. But at the end of the day, and in our hearts of hearts, I think we sometimes believe and act otherwise. I think we often do this arm wrestle with God, where we're going, okay, you're God. No, I'm God. No, you're God. No, I'm God. And this is an exhausting battle that rages in our hearts. Being still and knowing that He is God means that we surrender our fears and our anxieties, our condemning thoughts. We surrender bitterness, our need for control, and those many idols that we protect. We open our tightly fisted hands and we lay down our little gods before the one true God, before Elohim. And this is so freeing. And by the way, this process is by no means a passive response. It is a powerful act of the will. Friends, laying down your heart storms, it's an act of worship. It's an act of worship. Now, the final and probably the most important part of our personal application of verse 10 is this. We can't confidently know that He is God unless we know God. Do you know God? Do you really know Him? Do you know Him with the yada kind of knowing? A knowing that recognizes who He is, that has experienced who He is, that has this unwavering confidence of who He is, a kind of deep knowing that means you can willingly lay down your weapons and confidently let him be God. And the only way we can know God with the yada kind of knowing is by spending quality, intimate, dedicated time with him, by really knowing him. So in preparation for this weekend, I've been on a personal journey of sorts as I've reached out to about 20 women, most who you probably don't know, asking, what is your quiet time? What has it looked like over the years? And their responses have been surprisingly impactful and inspiring to me. And actually, as I've read their responses, I've been under a lot of personal conviction. These women are from different seasons of life and different backgrounds, but what they all share are hearts flowing with milk and honey, which is an outflow of knowing God with this yada kind of knowing. And a common thread that seems to run through their testimonies is this intentional, faithful pursuit of God. And no two quiet times look exactly alike, but their hunger and desire and passion to know him deeply is what propels them. Proverbs 8:17 says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." These are women who have sought the Lord, and they've found him. So in our discussion time tomorrow on pursuing God, we're going to share more about their responses, and I think you're going to be deeply encouraged, and I pray even inspired and more equipped in your own pursuit of God. So right now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you an opportunity, about 10 or 15 minutes, to be still before the Lord and to do some personal deep reflection. We're going to play some music, and I'm going to give you a little instruction, and you're welcome to spread out. You can get on the floor. You can go to another table. You can stand. Whatever you want to do, get on your knees. I want you to feel very free during this time, and I would suggest that you have your journal ready. And here's the two things that I want you to honestly take before the Lord. First, I want to ask you to search your heart and determine what heart storms you're struggling with right now. Right now. Ask the Lord to help you identify them, confess them, and begin the process of relinquishing and laying down before the throne of God these heart storms. And that's a process. That's not going to just happen tonight. It's a process. And then the next thing I want you to do is I want you to honestly evaluate what knowing God looks like for you in this season of your life. What does your pursuit of God look like? Are you satisfied with that? And if not, what do you want it to look like? When our time of introspection is done, I'm going to come up here and do about a 5 or 6 reading of scripture for you, and then we're going to close out our evening. I invite you to join me in an attitude of prayerful meditation as I read these scriptures. And at the conclusion, I encourage you just to stay here and spend some added time with the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Be still. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Be still. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Be still. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Be still. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Be still. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Be still. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. Be still. My soul, wait patiently for the Lord alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Be still. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as has a contrite spirit. Be still. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Be still. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Be still, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be still, for he himself is our peace. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Know that I am God. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Know that I am God. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Know that I am God. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Know that I am God. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Know that I am God. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Know that I am God. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Know that I am God. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Know that I am God. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Holy Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Know that I am God. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me.